The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of our church calendar year. We begin a new year next week with the first Sunday of Advent. We start the cycle over once again. And so we end our Christian church year with Christ the King Sunday. We remember many of the things that passed, that happened throughout the events, the life of Jesus, and it comes down to this, that Jesus is truly the King of kings, the King of the universe, King of all creation. And it brings us this morning then in the lectionary to this story of the crucifixion. And when we think of a king, we think of someone who is powerful. We think of someone who is the absolute ruler. Whatever a king says, that becomes law. Whatever the king says, everyone has to follow. Somebody who holds all the power, that there is no power above the king. He is the highest in the land. And so a king then is the one who makes sure the land is the territory is taken care of, but at the same time, the king basically owns everything. And the king we think of as being a strong person, somebody who can command his might, who can command obedience from everyone. We think of a king that way. I know Nikita Khrushchev, who was the Soviet leader back in the 1950s and then early 60s, once said, "If somebody struck me on the cheek, I would turn and strike him so hard it would make his head bobble." That's the difference between me and Jesus Christ. We think of a king in that way, of somebody who will take control, who will be in charge, who will do everything in his power to keep everybody else in subjugation. And then we come to this story here. that says Christ is the King. He had the inscription over his cross, King of the Jews. But it's a completely different kind of king. If we look at Jesus here in this story, he looks awfully weak. He doesn't look like the strong man. He doesn't look like the man who commands respect, a person who could command everybody to do what he wants. Rather, it looks like he is the lowest of low in this story. He is on his way to be crucified. The story opens with Jesus on the road carrying his cross. I know in another gospel lesson it says that he was so weak and tired that he could not even carry his own cross, that a bystander had to come and pick it up for him and take it. He has no control, it looks like. The soldiers lead him to the place of his execution. They hammer the nails in his hands, his feet. They tie him to the cross and they raise the cross up, leaving him there to die. It looks as if Jesus is completely powerless. So what kind of king is this? How can this be a king, a person who has absolutely no power? We look at this story and we see a king who is different. We see a king who is willing to serve. Jesus did have a choice. Jesus had a choice all along of whether or not he was going to go to Jerusalem, whether or not he would have himself arrested, whether or not he'd be put on trial, whether or not he'd defend himself, whether or not he would be executed and go to his grave. He did have that choice, but he chose instead to do his Father's will. His Father's will was for him to come to this earth and save humanity. We think of a king as being strong and being mighty. And Christ certainly is, but he is strong and mighty in a way that would surprise us. Here in this story, Jesus is hung up on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So who is Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about Pilate, the one who actually was the supreme leader in this territory? Now, Pilate was the voice of Caesar. Caesar was the king, and Pilate was simply carrying out the mission that Caesar had given him in the name of Caesar. Pilate was the one who had to condemn Jesus. Pilate was the one who did condemn Jesus. So is Jesus saying, Father, forgive him? Or was Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, to the soldiers? The soldiers were also an arm of Rome. They were the military might. They are the ones who had marched into battle and had conquered much territory for Rome. They were battle-hardened soldiers. They were tough. They were mean. They had seen bloodshed. They had seen violence. And they are the ones who drove the nails through Jesus' hands and his feet and hung Jesus up to die and were standing guard, making sure that nobody would rescue Jesus. So is Jesus saying, Father, forgive them? Or maybe Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them for the religious leaders. They're the ones who put this whole plot in motion of having Jesus arrested, of trying to trap him, of putting him on trial, of compelling Pilate to pronounce the sentence of crucifixion. They were the ones who were behind this whole plot of having Jesus executed. So is Jesus saying, Father, forgive him, forgive them? Or maybe it's the crowd. You know, only less than a week earlier than this story takes place, the crowd was shouting, Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord, on what we know of as Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes riding in on the donkey into Jerusalem. And how quickly things changed. The crowd was stirred up just a few days later to holler, Crucify, crucify him. And so was Jesus saying to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or maybe it's even those bystanders who were there who were upset because Jesus was being crucified. His disciples, and then also too those other folks that were around him, particularly the women, and anybody else who had been touched by the healing miracles of Jesus or had been stirred by his words that he had spoken or preached or teached. Who is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? And I would say all of them. All of them. And not only them, but also to us. We are in that same place. And you may see yourself at different places within this story. Are you one of those who are grieving the death of Christ? The disciples, when they were grieving, the women, when they were grieving, did not understand what was going on. They had invested so much time into following Jesus. They had invested so much energy in trying to follow and listen and learn from him. And here he was being killed. They thought their life was over. They thought the whole movement was over. They did not understand what they were doing. So we find ourselves in different spots of where this is. But the fact remains is that we do need forgiveness. We do need to hear Jesus when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Martin Luther was once quoted as saying, "If I were God, I would have kicked this world to pieces long ago." You know, it's very similar to what that quote was by Khrushchev. You know, that if somebody strikes me on the cheek, I would turn and hit them so hard their head would bobble. Here God says, or Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." There's no forgiveness in the statement of Martin Luther. There's no forgiveness in that statement of Khrushchev. Luther comes at it from a different perspective, though. Luther knows that he is a sinner. Luther knows that he does not have that same control that Jesus does. That willingness, that quick willingness to, even as Jesus was dying on the cross, to say, "Forgive them." Martin Luther knew he couldn't do that because he was human. He was a sinner. And he knew, though, then, that he needed a Savior. He needed Jesus Christ. He needed a King who would be willing to rule with mercy, with love, with forgiveness, and with graciousness. That is our King, the one willing to go to the cross for us. The King who has so much compassion for all those that he rules, that he is willing to take the punishment himself. He has our best interest at heart. Remember John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. That was Jesus' purpose, to come into this world to save us. It was a tough road, and Jesus did exactly that. This is only part of the story that we read today, because you know what comes after. Jesus overcame death. He rises from the dead. Jesus conquers death. Here he looks so weak, but this is actually his strongest point, because he is willing to give himself up. He is willing to do that for other people. And that takes a very strong person to say, "I will care for you," rather than caring for myself. And also to say, "Forgive them." As followers of Jesus Christ, it is a tough thing to do, because when somebody does something wrong to us, we want to retaliate. We want to make their heads bobble. We want to kick them to pieces. That's our natural instinct. We want to destroy them. It takes a lot more strength to say, "You are forgiven." It takes a lot more strength to show mercy. But there is joy in it. Here was the joy of God. His Son of God the Father, his Son came to this earth and did exactly as had been planned. He saved the world. He gave himself up. There was great joy that people are returned back to God's mercy, back to God's family. There is great joy in that. There's great joy when we forgive other people and when we show mercy. there is great joy in knowing I no longer have to keep a grudge. I no longer have to keep score. I'm not going to expect myself to get even. I don't have to worry about that anymore. A whole burden is taken off my shoulders. I don't have to do that. And there is joy and there is freedom in being able simply to let it go. Christ emptied himself for us. He took our punishment upon himself and he died. And he freed us. He made us whole. He made us worthy to be children of God. Christ is the King. Christ is the King of creation. He's the King of the world. He's the King of kings. Christ has that power, and that power is that love, that mercy, that forgiveness, and that grace. And he bestows it upon us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.